Good morning, church. Welcome to the Canal City Church of Christ. We're so glad that you could be here with us for this Easter morning as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and so glad that you can join us in this time of worship and fellowship together, even if we have to do it in this format at a distance from each other. But we're glad that you can be with us and worship with us. We are to the final installment of our study of the I Am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. We come to John chapter 11. We're working backwards a little bit. We come to John chapter 11, where Jesus makes this statement, I am the resurrection and the life. He makes that statement in John chapter 11, verse 25. Now, we love John chapter 11. It's a tremendous passage for us. There's a verse in there that probably was one of the first ones that we ever learned how to quote in John chapter 11 and verse 35. When we just read that Jesus wept. It's somewhat of a sad story, but it comes with a great ending to it. And it reminds us within this story, maybe nowhere else in the Bible do we see such a tremendous scene where we get to see both the humanity of Jesus and the divinity of Jesus. Jesus hears from a distance that often in Bethany, at the home of some of his closest friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, that Lazarus is now becoming very ill, even to the point of death. And so a couple of days after hearing of Lazarus's illness, Jesus begins to make his way there. And as he's making his way there, he's greeted on the road by Martha, who comes to him, and it says, picking up in verse 17, now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. So already at this point, Lazarus has died. Jesus has not come before his death, and people are beginning to wonder why. And it says, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus looks at Martha and tells her, your brother will rise again. Now Jesus tells Martha this, and Martha doesn't, I think, completely understand what Jesus is talking about. And so she kind of spiritualizes what it is that Jesus is saying. This is actually a great moment for Martha. We've come to know Martha as the story of Mary and Martha, where Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha is off, and she's busy serving, and she kind of, I don't know, gets a bad name because of that. But we see a great scene of Martha here that really should be a great focus of who she is in Scripture. And so she comes to Jesus. She says, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. But even now, we know that you can take care of this. And Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And that's when Jesus makes this tremendous comment, this I am statement, this statement where he connects himself to God, saying that he is God. He says to her in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And he asks Martha, he says, do you believe this? And Martha makes this great statement, this great confession of who Jesus is. And she says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Now, at this point, Martha doesn't know the rest of the story. She doesn't know what will become of Lazarus. We have the ability to go and read forward. I would encourage you to do that now. Read the rest of chapter 11 and see what happens with Lazarus. But I'll go ahead and tell you now, Jesus will come and he will raise Lazarus from the dead. But when Jesus makes this statement, I am the resurrection and the life, maybe Jesus was talking about Lazarus. But I think he was talking about so much more. I don't think he was just talking about the resurrection that Lazarus was going to have. I don't know that he was necessarily even talking about just his resurrection that will come in the coming days that we're celebrating this morning, his resurrection from the grave. But I think Jesus is making the statement to Martha that because of his coming resurrection, we now have a new relationship with life, a new relationship, not just with life, but with death. And because of the resurrection of Jesus, because Jesus is the resurrection, we no longer live to die, but rather we join Jesus in his resurrection. We join him in his death and in his resurrection, and from there on forward, we live. Jesus overcame the grave, and because of that, we have hope beyond the grave. Jesus has given us life, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And the question we have to ask ourselves now is, if Jesus is the resurrection and the life, then who am I in light of the great I am?
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When peace like a river attends,
it is. Good morning, everyone. So it's been a while since I've had an opportunity to stand before you and preside over the Lord's Supper. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to do that today. If you need to collect your emblems for the Lord's Supper, you can do that now. Just pause the video. And when you're ready, just hit restart when you're done. I want to talk this morning about three words. And those three words are, it is finished. According to John chapter 19, these are Jesus' final words as he hung dying on the cross. But what exactly was finished? Remember, everything in the Bible from beginning to end points to Jesus' death, burial, and his resurrection, and his victory over death. Even centuries before Jesus spoke these three words on the cross, the prophet Isaiah said the following of Jesus. And I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Even before Isaiah, way in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, we read in chapter 3 of that book, God's plan when he promised that there would be a conqueror who would not fall to Satan, but instead slay him. While Jesus suffered on the cross, those present most likely included Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious leaders of Jesus' time. They looked up and saw Jesus as being an agitator or a blasphemer who was about to receive his just judgment from God. Roman soldiers who looked up on the cross and saw a common criminal in Jesus, caught between two thieves. Pilate, the Roman governor who looked up and saw an innocent man. And then, of course, Jesus' closest friends, the disciples, who looked up and saw their Lord dying a horrible death on the cross. No one in the crowd, though, saw what Jesus saw. As he looked out from the height of the cross, he saw his task accomplished, his work completed, his Father's will fulfilled, Satan defeated, and sinners saved. We as Christians still have a race to run, a devil to resist, good works to walk in, in holiness to pursue. But we begin on finished ground. Every day we wake up shielded into three words spoken by Jesus, it is finished. Let's now bow our heads and give thanks for the bread. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather this morning, even though it's unconventional means that we have this morning. But we do give thanks to you for Jesus and his life and his sacrifice that he made for us on the cross. Be with us now as we prepare to partake of this bread, which represents his broken body, and that we partake of this in a manner which will be well-pleasing to you. These things we pray through Christ's name. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
We'll continue our thanks now for the fruit of the vine. Dear Heavenly Father, we continue our thanks to you at this time for this cup which represents Christ's blood, which was shed on the cross for our sins. Be with us as we partake of it. In these things we pray through Christ's name. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
This concludes our Lord's Supper this morning. Again, thank you so much for the opportunity, and happy Easter to everyone.
Just as I am.
Now we come to chapter 20, and it starts out and it talks about Mary Magdalene. And it says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early. And I guess we should set this up. You know, we celebrate today because it's Resurrection Sunday from the greatest event that we know. We know that Jesus has died on the cross for our sins. And we know that they buried him in a tomb. They laid his body on stone in this tomb, and they rolled this stone in front of the tomb. So this is where Mary Magdalene is coming on the first day of the week. She came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken from the tomb. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. What are you thinking right now? You know, this big, massive tomb that was probably too heavy for one person to push, let alone two. Mary walks up. It's 5 a.m., 6 a.m. It's still dark outside. You're probably tired. You're probably, you know, exhausted from all the crying because Jesus had just died. And so she's coming to this tomb, and she sees that this tomb
is open, that the stone was rolled away. In verse 2, it says, so she ran and went to Simon Peter. She noticed that she didn't first run into the fire. She didn't first run in to see what was going on. She ran and got somebody. She ran and got help. She ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So verse 3, so Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying up there, but he didn't go in. So he is seeing these cloths lying there. Maybe the first thought is, oh, well, you know, his body's still there. So it's just weird that the stone was rolled away. And then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And that's what we celebrate today. Then the disciples went back to their homes. So we've talked about all of these I am statements. We've talked about I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, the life. All of these I am statements always left the disciples confused. And even now, it's kind of like Jesus was like, all right, one last shot, I'm going to confuse you guys. He confuses them. They don't understand, because they didn't understand the scripture. They didn't understand that Jesus was saying, I have to raise from the dead. So the disciples, those two, Simon and the one that Jesus loved, went back to their homes. Now verse 11 picks up. This is where we're going to see Jesus' first appearance to somebody. And this is really the importance of chapter 20. I mean, not the only importance. The importance is Jesus is raised from the dead. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But what I want to focus on is that word appear. Jesus has appeared to a couple people. So let's continue reading in verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she went, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but did not know that it was Jesus. Let's stop there for a second. I just talked about this idea of appearing, this word appear, Jesus appearing. So this is the first time that since Jesus is raised, that he has appeared to somebody. He just appeared to Mary. However, Mary did not recognize him. And that makes me wonder, how many times has Jesus appeared to me and I haven't recognized him? And so Jesus says in verse 15, Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. So Mary's really wanting Jesus back, even if it's just his body. In verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. And that's all he had to say. Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me. So I picture this. Mary just goes in for the hug, which right now we're not supposed to do. And he says, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. And that he said these things to her. So put your feet in Mary's shoes. She was called by Jesus to go and tell her brothers, I am ascending to the Father, to your Father, to God, your Lord. Mary goes and says, I have seen him. And what is the first thing that the disciples might think? But again, I just want to focus on that appear. When has Jesus appeared to you and you haven't recognized him? But on the flip side, when has Jesus just said your name, just said Jacob, and I've been able to turn around and say, Lord? And it keeps bringing me back to this question of, who am I in light of the great I am?
So earlier we talked about John chapter 11 and verse 25, where Jesus makes the statement to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And we talked about what that means and the new relationship that Jesus's resurrection gives to the Christian. Well, as we move forward, we come to John chapter 20. Jesus has already gone through that cruel death on the cross. He's given his life up for everybody. He's given his life up for us. He's given his life up for me. And we come to John chapter 20, and we've experienced now that the tomb has been found empty. Jesus has risen from the grave. And we begin to wonder, how do people respond to that? And we get a glimpse of that in John chapter 20, and picking up verse 19, Jesus is going to appear to his disciples. And then he's going to appear to a few days later, specifically to Thomas, who isn't in this first set of scriptures. I just want to read this together. John chapter 20, picking up verse 19, says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so am I sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. And then we go and we find Thomas coming into this, coming back with the 12, or coming back to the 11 at this point, and hearing about Jesus' appearance to the other disciples. It says, now Thomas, picking up verse 24, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told them, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. And so 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So in John chapter 20, we begin to see Jesus' appearances to his disciples, to those who are closest to him, and his appearance to them after he is risen from the grave. And what's amazing to me is he appears to the disciples, and as he appears to Thomas, what he continually tells them. I want you to look at these with me again. It says, the very first thing, Jesus came in, and he comes behind the locked doors, and he stands among his disciples, and at the end of verse 19, he tells them, peace be with you. Again, in verse 21, it says, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And then again, in when we get down to the section about Thomas, and Jesus appears to the disciples again, and Thomas is there. It says in verse 26, Jesus came and he stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." You see, as Jesus continually appears to his disciples after rising from the grave, Jesus comes with the same message over and over and over again. He says, "Peace be with you." And what it reminds us of is another I Am statement that we've looked at already. We go back to John chapter 14. And you'll remember in John chapter 14, we looked at verse 6 where Jesus says to those around him, says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He tells them there also that he is the life. In chapter 11, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And in chapter 14, he says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." But you'll remember why Jesus is telling his disciples this. He's now in this final discourse with his disciples. And in John chapter 13, he has washed their feet. Judas has now left to deny or to betray Jesus. And he's predicted that Peter will deny him three times. And then as he opens up in chapter 14, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." So he talks to them there about not letting their hearts be troubled. And then down in verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." You see, Jesus' message to them there, as they are trying to figure out what life is going to be like without Jesus, as they're trying to figure out how they're going to move forward as Jesus goes to the cross, they're scared, they're afraid. And Jesus' message to them is peace. He's giving them peace. And now as he's risen from the grave, and he comes to them on that resurrection morning, and then again 8 days later to Thomas, his message to them once again is, "Remember how I told you that I'm the way and the truth and the life? And remember how I told you I'm the resurrection and the life? Well, through my death on the cross and through my resurrection, I've given you the way. I have given you the truth. I've given you the resurrection. And now you get to experience life. And because you get to experience that life, what you get to experience is the peace that I give you." You see, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and I am the life." And it's a life of peace for those who will join him in that death and that resurrection. I'm the resurrection and the life. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, if Jesus is the resurrection and the life, then who am I in light of the great I Am? Well, church, we've come now to the end of our series on the I Am statements in the Gospel of John. We've done this for 6 weeks together. We've looked at seven I Am statements. Really, we've noticed that there's more than just those seven. But it's just kind of crazy to think about that 6 weeks ago we started this, and we were looking out at an audience as we did this. Everybody was here with us, and we really do. We miss being with everybody. But it's kind of been interesting doing it in this format. And, you know, I don't know about you, Jacob, but I've really enjoyed this and felt that this has been a good series for us to go through together.
I agree. And, you know, we started out with you preaching about I am the bread of life. And Jesus' first I Am statement there. And then we moved into that first week that we were in this format of I Am the Light of the World. And that's where we kind of tag-teamed these I Am statements from then on out. And so then we move on to Jesus saying, I'm the door of the sheep and the good shepherd. We kind of combine the two because we wanted to make sure that we got them all in before today.
Yeah.
For the Easter Sunday. But so we go through those two, which really went together well, I believe. And after that, we went to this idea that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And that Sunday, we were actually supposed to have that unity service. And we were all together. We were all supposed to be together for that. And really, that statement would have made it even that much more powerful. Jesus being the way, the truth, and life for all of us.
And I love the focus we had on that one of not being afraid and the peace we have in Jesus. That was such a good one we went through together.
Yeah, and then last week, if you were with us, we talked about Jesus being the true vine. Mm-hmm. So really, we've kind of gone through the whole book of John, yep. because today we finished out with Jesus' statement. Now, we have explained that we kind of had to time travel a little bit in the book of John. We went back to John 11, where Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life."
Right.
And that statement right there, that gives me chills time that I read it, every time that I hear it.
And that's such a great story. I love that passage in John 11. And I love that even though we kind of time travel backwards to get to John 11, we then jump forward to John 20. And that's been kind of the cool thing about this passage the study of the I Am statements, is that even though we didn't really intend on it being a study of the Gospel of John, it's helped us to get a real nice overview of all of the Gospel of John and what the message of John is.
Yeah.
And that kind of brings us to where we are now. We have looked today at all these appearances in John chapter 20 of Jesus after he rose from the grave and who all he appeared to.
Appearing to Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, Mary Magdalene, the disciples, to Thomas. And we've kind of read through that. We get now to the end of John chapter 20. And at the end of John chapter 20, the writer of John, who we assume to be the Apostle John,
right.
writes this kind of thesis statement, this purpose statement for all of the gospel. And he says in John chapter 20 and verse 30, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." You see, Jesus had talked about, or Jesus had performed all these different signs. And maybe that's something we'll get into at some other point, is looking at the signs
right.
in the Gospel of John, which is pretty cool. But we've looked at two of those signs today, as we've seen Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead and then his own resurrection. And the Gospel writer says that Jesus performed these signs so that people would believe, and they're written for us so that we could believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Son of God, which Jesus has been claiming in all of his I Am statements. We've talked about so many times how he makes that emphatic I Am, and connecting that back to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, where God tells Moses to tell the people that the I Am has sent him. He says, "I am who I am." And we read that these things are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life, which we've talked about. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the bread of life. So many times we've looked at this idea of life, that by believing we can have life in his name. And I love that, because we've looked at the name of Jesus and all this, in the name of the I Am.
Yeah, so we've talked about these ideas of life. And another thing, and I talked about it earlier in this video, is people were always confused when Jesus said these I Am statements, because it was, like you said, it was this profound, like, I am, I am.
Yep.
I am this. Yep. I am the bread of life. And we don't really understand what that means.
Right.
So we've kind of been connecting it back to this one general question.
Mm-hmm.
And that question is, who am I in light of the great I Am?
And you know, we talked, even at the very beginning of this series, we began by putting the question out to all of you, and you responded to Jacob's post on Facebook, and you responded to us in other ways, asking you this question: who are you? If you were to say, "I am this, I am that," who are you? And I thought that was, that I keep going back to that board that we had, and it was just such a great picture.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could talk a little bit about what some of the responses were that you got from that.
Yeah. And what was neat was they were all different responses.
Mm-hmm.
We got adjectives explaining who somebody was. We got like emotions,
mm-hmm.
Sad, depressed, but we also got happy and energetic. And these adjectives of "I'm a teacher," "I'm a father," "I'm a son," "I'm a daughter," mm-hmm. "I'm a wife," "I am a king," "I am a queen." And so we got these different ideas of who we are. We got some negatives. We got some, like, "I am not enough," which we talked about before. we got some positives, which are like, I am in a good place right now.
Yeah.
And it really shows you where people are in life, where you are in life, where I am, where you are. It's just one of those, I am. And I think we use that statement a lot more than we probably even ever imagined.
Right.
You know, somebody asks you how your day is going. You know, I'm good. You know, how are you today? I'm okay. I'm tired. I'm hungry. You know, I heard that a lot on Winterfest trip with the team.
Yeah, I bet.
But we have that great knowledge of knowing that our life is in the great I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, like I said, it's really interesting that so many people responded to this, and some of them gave positive descriptions of themselves. Some of them gave negative descriptions of themselves. Some of them, you kind of described themselves through an adjective. Some gave a nail. But within all these things, people kept telling us who they are, who they kind of viewed themselves as being. Mm-hmm. And as we've gotten to the end of each one of these I am statements, we've asked ourselves the question, who am I in light of the great I am? And I think that's such an important question. And I look back over everything that we've learned about the great I am in the Gospel of John.
Yeah.
And we come to this story that we're at today, where Jesus has gone to the cross, and 3 days later, he's risen from the grave. And we live on the other side of the cross now. We know that Jesus rose from the grave. We know that he ascended to heaven. We know we have that promise that that he is preparing a home for us. And I think about that question. Who am I in light of the great I am? Especially, who am I in light of the one who says that he is the resurrection and the life? And I realize there may not be a very great answer to that, as long as I continue to look at who I am, and the positives, the negatives, no matter what it is, you know, I am a preacher, I'm a teacher, I am, you know, I'm a father. I could take those positive ones. I could look at the negative ones. I am a sinner. I am lost. I am broken. You know, all of these things describe me. But the fact is, honestly, it just doesn't matter who I am, because we are children of the great I am.
Yeah.
And so maybe the best answer to this question we've been asking ourselves over and over and over again is to quote the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, when he begins that statement by saying, I am. And he says, I am crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I'm crucified with Christ. And so I think about that. Stephen, the preacher, Stephen, the husband, Stephen, the father, Stephen, the sinner, Stephen, the broken person, all of that is crucified with Christ. It's placed on the cross. And now it's no longer I who live, but it's the great I am who lives inside of me. That's who I am in light of the great I am.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I am. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I am. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I am.
So this has been just, man, it's been a great study together.
And I agree.
Yeah, and we really appreciate
all of you be patient with us as we've, this is brand new to us. We don't know what we're doing.
No.
And you know, it's very new, very different for us to try to keep people connected and us go through this study together in this distant format. And so we thank you for being patient with us and joining us with this. And honestly, we just, as much as it's been enjoyable, it's been different, we look forward to just being back with you and getting to share time with you and share fellowship with you. So our prayers are with you, and we look forward to being with you again soon. Jacob, why don't you close us out with one more prayer?
All right. Let's pray, everyone. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we just bow before your throne. God, we just thank you for being the great I am. God, I thank you for this time. Though it may be difficult and confusing for us right now, though we may be lost and hurting, God, I just pray that we find the positives through this. We find the hope and the light through you. God, I just thank you. Thank you for Jesus, for dying on that cross, raising 3 days later so that we can just be in celebration. Be in celebration that he has come back for us. He has died for our sins and taken that upon himself so that we may be with you one day in heaven. God, we just thank you for everything that you do, everything that you are, because we know that you are the great I am. God, I thank you for allowing us to be together even though we're apart. God, thank you for being in us so that we may be with you. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for answering that question for us on that cross of who are we in the light of who you are. We pray all of these things through your precious and holy name. And amen.
Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice.
Bearing all the guilt of sinful man.